I'm going to catch it with Michael Lynch from The Age to kick off this hour, because some great A-League action coming up this weekend. The Socceroos with a good solid win overnight. Michael, great to have you on the show.
Yes, indeed, and good to be here.
I'm just looking at that group. It's a nice little buffer that the Socceroos have got. 5 points clear of Kuwait and Jordan, Nepal and Chinese Taipei also in our Group B in this FIFA. It's there, and Australia are nicely positioned at the moment.
Yeah, well, this is the first, well, it's not the first phase, but it's the first major phase of Asian qualifying. And, you know, they'd have to implode spectacularly and take self-destruction to hitherto unheard of levels, not to make it through now to the next phase. You know, they've got three of their last four games are at home. The win over Jordan, while it wasn't pretty, it was certainly effective. And it was the first time in a long time, if ever. I think they'd actually won in Amman. They'd lost the last twice there, including with far more star-studded lineups than that which appeared overnight. So got to give them some credit for that. Look, it's a team that doesn't really have any star individuals, this one, no big names. Yep. And if they do achieve anything, it's going to have to be through a collective ethic. But, you know, they've at least pretty much guaranteed their place in the draw for the next and critical stage, when, you know, you're likely to come up against one or other of Iran or Iraq or Japan or North Korea, South Korea, Qatar, the Asian champions. You know, it'll be a lot harder in the next phase.
Well, these aren't easy places to go to, are they? I mean, maybe the quality on the pitch isn't always as good maybe as the Socceroos, it's dealing with the pitch conditions, it's dealing with the environment and the crowd atmosphere as well. There's a lot of different things that the Socceroos have sort of got to deal with when on the road.
It's very, very hard. I mean, yeah, look, you know, even in the days of the Golden Generation, and I've covered an awful lot of these qualifiers over the last 15 years of... Yeah. 2006, we came into the Asian region. So for the last 13 years, I've covered an awful lot of qualifiers in the Middle East. And back in those days, Australia had a team that, you know, was like divisions better than the opponents they faced. But, you know, I was in 80 degrees. I mean, even for a admittedly not elite athlete, middle-aged bloke like me, but just walking up the steps into the press box was bloody hard work. Never mind, you know, playing for 90 minutes against people who do live in those conditions all the time and are, you know, at least a lot more acclimatised. Mm. And basically, you don't really often... I mean, Jordan were a bit different or have been a bit different, but a lot of these teams, even when they're playing Australia at home, they try to play on the counter and defend, and, you know, conserve their energy. So it isn't an easy place to play, even if you are much better.
Yeah, no doubt. So just to paint the picture, this first phase of FIFA World Cup qualifying, we're in the group with Kuwait, Jordan, Nepal, and Chinese Taipei. So we've got some matches to come, not until about, what, March, April next year. We've got a couple of home fixtures, Kuwait, Chinese Taipei, and then we're away to Nepal.
Yeah, and then home to Jordan to finish in June.
Yep.
So... Look, it should be a snack. I mean, really, you know, if they, as I said at the top of this, if they implode from here, it'll be a self-destruction, a shooting in the foot of, you know, previously unknown dimensions, I would have said.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'd have to be a major collapse from the Socceroos, that's for sure. The Matildas also. I mean, we love the Matildas. So they're going beautifully. I know they're working towards building a home here in Victoria, which I think is in progress, but they seem to be ticking the boxes as well in terms of looking to qualify. A couple of back-to-back wins.
Yeah, they were friendly games. I was actually in Adelaide on Tuesday covering that one for the Age and Sydney Morning Herald. And yeah, look, they did got the job done. They dominated possession, really. I mean, they only won 1-0 with an Emily Gelnick goal halfway through the first half, but really... could have been 4 or 5 if they got their shooting boots on. Sam Kerr missed a penalty just in stoppage time at the end of the first half. Had she converted that, you fancy that the floodgates may have opened a bit more. But, you know, while you're only ever 1-0 up, you're always, you know, liable to be vulnerable. And then the Chileans with a really well-worked free kick nearly did nick an equaliser. But, you know, two games down... 2-1 win and a 1-0 win against the South American opponents. They're not, you know, top 10 in the world or anything like that. They're not in the same kind of parish as Australia as far as the rankings go, but they're improving. And at a point that was made by Ante Milicic, the coach, after the game was that, you know, a lot of his players, they've played in their American club season. They've had 4 or 5, 6 weeks off. They're coming back here. They haven't had much W League preseason, so they are pretty rusty. And they've just come into camp. So it wasn't a bad effort, you know, given a real lack of proper preparation to at least win twice and keep a clean sheet in the second game.
No doubt. Michael, you mentioned the name Sam Kerr. It's been on the tip of everyone's tongue this week. Moving to Chelsea, a nice paycheck coming her way, the international status that she continues to receive. What have you made about it as someone who's covered the Ramble code for a long time?
Well, covered it, watched it, played it, yeah, over 50 years now, doing it
sorry,
all.
Sorry, I was trying to remind you.
Look, you know, the growth of women's football has been one of the stories of the last 2 or 3 years, and it's her great good fortune that she's born and around with her ability at a time when she is able to cash in on it. You know, there were players like Lisa Devanna was probably Sam Kerr before Sam Kerr. But, you know, yeah. Lisa's 10 years older and these opportunities weren't there for Lisa. So, you know, she wasn't able to make the sort of money Sam Kerr is. And but fair play to Sam Kerr because she's taken every opportunity. I think, you know, she originally was playing Aussie Rules like her big brother, Daniel, and her parents steered her towards football. And ever since she took up soccer, she's just proved herself to be one of the best, not just in Australia initially, but then the world. So what you get with Sam, you know what you get. You get commitment, wholehearted, hardworking team ethos, and you get someone who scores.
Yeah.
And she scores, you know, in Australia, she scores in Asia, she scores in America, she scored in the World Cup. And it would be a big surprise if she couldn't score in the Women's League in the UK.
Absolutely. What a phenomenal strike rate she has. Michael Lynch with us from The Age. Talking Socceroos, Sam Kerr, want to cover off the A-League as well. I mean, Melbourne City, big game this weekend. They travel to take on Sydney FC. Gee, they got the 3 points here. A really nice buffer that they'll create. We know Sydney FC are one of the powerhouses. 9 points on the table for them. So they'd love to just be able to get that gap a little closer. One of the marquee matchups this weekend.
Well, yeah, if I could just correct you without embarrassing you, it's Melbourne City travel to play Brisbane on Sunday. It's Melbourne Victory that travel to play Sydney in the Big Blue.
You know what, Michael? You can embarrass me anytime because I've just put the glasses on and you are absolutely spot on. So just forget I said any of that. And
well, we can talk about City because I was just out there. Well, I was just out at City this morning speaking to Eric Monbau, the coach, and, you know, they're purring along nicely at the top of the table, as you said, 4 wins and a draw. And I think what's pleased Monbert more than anything, they got an absolute shellacking in the FFA Cup final when they lost 4-0 to Adelaide. In a game I think most people had them chalked down as favourites to win. And what he asked for them was a strong mental reaction. And they backed up 3 days later, went down to Western United and won that game, come from, you know, had gone in front and then conceded an equaliser and got a late win with just 10 men because they'd had Harrison Delbridge sent off. And that was a pretty strong mental reaction.
Yep.
And they've won the other two since as well. So I think he's pretty pleased about that, but he's not happy with the way the international break, in Australia, we don't honour the international break and we don't suspend fixtures for it like they do in every other country in the world. He's losing 3 of his most promising younger players who are away with the Oli Roos, and he said, where's the benefit for a club like ours that actually invests in young players, wants to bring them along and wants to develop them? You know, we get punished by this. And there are clubs like Sydney traditionally, Perth Glory, and now Western United, who tend to sign a lot of very old, experienced players, so they never lose them at international windows. And I think he has got a point there. I do think it's ludicrous that Australia doesn't suspend its domestic league program when there's an international window. It's not as if there's 12 a season or anything. It's only two or three.
Good point you make, and thank you for the correction. Big weekend coming up. West United home to Newcastle Jets. They can creep towards the top of the table. City on the road to Brisbane Roar, and, of course, Melbourne Victory on the road to Sydney FC. Michael, we'll continue to read all your great work in The Age. Really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.